British Sky Broadcasting and Jaffe Braunstein Films present Driven to Succeed, starring Sybil Shepherd and Tim Matheson, directed by Jason Ensler. Audio described by Therese Birch on behalf of MCS Agency. Lifestyle guru Martha Stewart parks outside a TV studio on a busy New York street. She gets out of her car, strides purposefully into the building, and ignores the doorman.
She's here.
All right, people, she's in the building. Let's go!
I've got Bosk and Bartlett. Which one do you think she'd like?
Whichever one we don't choose.
I'm going to give her the Pinot Noir and hope for the best.
Maybe she'll forget that she asked for the Merlot.
Oh, yeah, that'll happen.
Hello, everyone. Hello, did you get the ginger from Morocco and the cinnamon from Sri Lanka? We're making root beer next week. I need birch bark.
My limo driver never showed up. Get a new one. I want that recipe for chicken frittata on my desk before the next segment.
We need the right pears, please.
And did we finally get the boss pears?
I'll get them.
Why don't they understand? I just want it done correctly. It's a food show. I get it. Why don't they?
I get it, too. Listen, you've got a benefit tonight, 9 p.m. Guests will include Oprah Winfrey, Rosie O'Donnell, Madonna. I've sat you with Tom Brokaw. Today at 1 o'clock, you have a book signing for the foundation. At 3 o'clock at East Hampton, you have a photo shoot. And at 5 o'clock... At 5 o'clock...
Martha Stewart, episode 1076. I need the birthday cake.
And at 5 o'clock...
Come on, people, let's go. 10 seconds. Final touches. Step away.
Hi, I'm Martha Stewart, and today on Martha Stewart Living, we are going to poach pears in red wine. The results are really delicious. We have some special friends to help me bake a birthday cake. They'll be our cookie of the week, and of course, we're going to learn something new. So stay tuned. It'll be fun.
And cut.
Who opened 3 bottles of wine? Do you know how much a good bottle of red wine costs? And for God's sake, did I not ask for Merlot?
6 o'clock, you're hosting a cocktail. Frank and Kathy Lee Gifford attending. Larry King's expected, and then there's the benefit at 9.
Sam?
The SEC has begun an investigation into possible insider trading charges against Sam Waxel. Waxel, the chief executive of biotech company ImClone Systems, is a high-flying entrepreneur with a taste for the good life. It came to a crashing halt last December when Waxel discovered that his company's cancer drug, Erbitux, would not win FDA approval.
Did Waxel tip others prior to the FDA's public announcement? And would that explain why Waxel's close friend, Martha Stewart, sold off her ImClone shares just one day prior to the information going public?
Have Martha Stewart dumping her shares a day before the FDA announcement. Was that luck or was that a little Waxel
Hello?
Bird told me? My prediction?
Hello?
She's going to be stuffed, braised, and served up cold. Unless she cooks up a good story.
Please.
If convicted, Waxel faces up to 5 years in prison on conspiracy and perjury charges.
Hello. Well, she's on set right now.
I've got your lawyer on one, Inside Edition on two, and your mother on three.
We need you on set.
Today we have two very special guests. Lily and Natasha are here to help me bake a cake. Did you know that's how I got my start?
By baking a cake?
If you let me finish, Lily, I'll tell you. Baking birthday cakes and selling them to the neighbors is something I did when I was your age.
When you were 8?
What? I was 9.
Martha, as a little girl, is in the family kitchen decorating a cake.
Hi, Martha.
Hi, Cynthia.
I just came over to tell you that I'm going to be selling birthday cakes, just like you.
And I just got my first job.
That's great, Cynthia. We should share recipes.
Okay.
I have the perfect one for you. It's my never-fail best birthday cake ever.
Cynthia is on a doorstep holding a flat, crumbling cake.
I don't know what happened.
So, I hear you're in the market for a birthday cake.
You must have done it wrong. I made the flowers myself with icing sugar and food coloring, and then piped them into a desired shape using a template I designed myself.
You did it on purpose!
It's okay, Cynthia. Years from now, this won't matter. You'll be just anybody, but I'm going to be famous.
The whole world's going to know the name Martha Kostyra.
Our good friend Martha Stewart was kind enough to let us drop by her studio this morning. Lately, Martha has been in the headlines fighting allegations of insider stock trading. Martha, it is good to see you.
We're going to make a salad.
Yes, we are. But first, I'd like to ask you a little bit about everything that's been going on.
I'm not at liberty at this time to make any comment whatsoever. And I think this will all be resolved in the very near future, and I will be exonerated of any ridiculousness. My employees and I are working hard to make our company the best omnimedia in the world, and I want to focus on my salad.
The use of shellacked lettuce leaves will create the appearance of a tree in a magical forest. The business of transforming the school gym for the senior prom is, as you can see, quite a creative process and will require the help of the entire student body. Nutley High will never see a more stunning decor for its senior prom. My very own double chocolate brownies. Any volunteers?
Martha, as an attractive teenager immaculately dressed in a plaid outfit, addresses her bored classmates who all rush out of the room, leaving her alone. She walks down a busy school corridor, ignored by all her peers reading a magazine, and stops in front of two girls who look hostile. One is wearing a tartan jacket.
Hi, Lynn. Hi, Peggy. I love your jacket. Where did you get it?
My dad gave it to me for Christmas. Business Weekly? No wonder she doesn't have a boyfriend.
It's Brownie Wise. She's a single mother, and she invented the whole idea for Tupperware parties, and now she's the vice president of Tupperware.
She wouldn't have to work if she stayed married.
She also would have two secretaries in her own private empire.
I knew it. She's a lesbian.
Martha touches the girl's jacket and walks off. Snow is on the ground. She arrives home from school at the shabby New Jersey family house. She joins her father and siblings, who are busy in the basement chopping vegetables.
Where the hell you been?
You know I have debate club on Tuesdays. I'm decorating the gym for the prom.
You have a ton of chores here you should be doing.
This is all gonna get me into a better college.
There are plenty of kids who don't join 100 clubs who still get into college.
I'm just trying to do a good job.
Well, do it here. Help your brother chop these roots. Come on, Laura. Come on. I want those bottles clean. Use your hands. Best tools you've got. That yeast doesn't dissolve in 5 minutes. You throw it out and start again. 2 tablespoons of root beer extract to 2 tablespoons of sugar. Now, who can name 10 ingredients in the first root beer ever made? Anybody?
Juniper, wintergreen, spikenard, pipasua, sarsaparilla, vanilla, hops, dograss, birch bark, and licorice.
That's right, Mark. Don't do it like that. Do it the right way. Thin. It's ginger.
Martha bows her head and chops deliberately. It's late. She's in her bedroom, sitting at a sewing machine, hand-sewing fabric that matches her friend's jacket. Her mother comes in.
Martha, it's a school night.
I'll be done soon.
Well, you can finish on Saturday.
I need it for tomorrow. I'll be fine. I don't need much sleep.
You are just like him.
Don't say that.
Martha's mother looks troubled. Her father is sitting alone in the basement, staring at the wall, listening to the radio. Martha, arms folded, clutching a fashion magazine called Runway, comes down the basement stairs.
Dad, what are you working on?
Come here. These are ready to plant.
Martha goes over to a table and puts down the magazine and starts to help potting up plants. Her father picks up the magazine.
What, are you wasting your time with this crap?
I bought it with my own money.
You don't have your own money. You have mine.
I've been making my own money since I was 9.
You don't get it, do you? It's all my money. Don't do it that way. What did I teach you?
I know. How is it all your money?
How? Who pays for the roof over your head? And the food you eat.
You do. But I still don't have anything. I don't even have my own room.
Well, you want something bad enough, you gotta go out there and get it for yourself. But once you leave my house and you start supporting yourself, you can go anywhere you want. You can do anything you want. You can buy all the magazines you want. You think life's the way they make it look in these magazines? This is junk. There's not one girl in here half as good-looking as you.
Martha smiles smugly. She and her father look at each other as if they are both thinking the same thing.
Hey, kids! Laura, Frank, Kathy, get down here right now! Cha-cha! All right, Frank, bring that light in. That's it, stop. Okay, good. All right, Laura, bring in those flashes. This is good. All right, do something with your hair. Talk about earning some money. Now that's real money. Your looks have market value. Smile.
At school, Martha is wearing an identical jacket to her classmate.
Hey guys, if you're watching American Bandstand tonight, don't leave them when the commercials come on. It's a big surprise. See ya. Hey, that's my jacket.
A gentle, powerful climb.
Everyone come in here, the commercials are on, let's go! Come on, Martha! Martha!
That should keep your baby happy.
My skin feels so soft, thanks to Highland Soap.
That's what I'm talking about.
Martha and her family watch her first TV ad. Her father looks self-satisfied and she looks purposeful. Coming out of school, some boys approach her.
Hey Martha, I saw you on TV.
You're great.
She's so cool.
She looks pleased. She arrives home and takes the mail out of the postbox by the front door and finds a letter addressed to her. She looks excited.
Mom! Mom! Mom!
Martha? Martha, what is it? Oh, honey, that's wonderful. Congratulations.
What's going on?
I got accepted at Barnard.
Yes, you did. Good work.
Thanks.
Don't forget about modeling. That's what's going to help pay for that education.
Oh, Eddie, would you just let her enjoy the moment for once?
What? She can enjoy it. I'm just saying she's got other things, too. I'm trying to give the girl a compliment.
Thanks, Dad.
Martha and her mother hug.
Oh, sweet. Congratulations.
She's leaving the house. Her father carries two suitcases.
I'm driving in.
It's okay, Dad.
I'm driving you in.
Ed, let her go.
Her father reluctantly hands her the cases and grips her by the shoulders. Martha looks back at her mother on the porch.
It's your big chance, kid. Don't blow it.
Her parents look on sadly as Martha walks away with her suitcases through the snow from the family home. It's a cold day. Snow still lies on the ground. Outside college, Martha stands, arms folded, at the top of some steps and is approached by a tall, dark, handsome young man.
Martha? Andy Stewart. Your date.
So, where'd you grow up? What are you majoring in? Do you have a boyfriend?
Do you want me to answer all those questions at once?
let's do the boyfriend one first, because I gotta tell you, the other ones are gonna seem a lot less important if the answer is yes.
Do you really think I would go out on a blind date if I had a boyfriend?
I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't. I don't.
Good.
I'm not really modeling yet, but I'm getting ready for this competition that Runway Magazine is doing, where they pick the 10 best-dressed college girls, and they send them to Paris for a year.
And a couple of years ago, this girl, Norma Collier, did it. And now she's on the cover of every magazine. And that's where I want to be. Plus, I would love to go to Paris.
Never been?
No.
Oh, we go every summer.
Oh, well, that must be nice for you.
Well, you know, sometimes I wish I didn't grow up with so much money. I mean, I feel like I was sheltered from the real world. I admire people who had to struggle more.
I'm sorry, but were you just romanticizing being poor?
I don't know, was I?
Yeah, I think you were.
I guess I was.
That's okay. This poor girl will tell you what she thinks of Paris when she gets there. If I get there.
Are you kidding? It'd be crazy not to pick you.
Beautifully dressed in a matching hat, jacket and coat, Martha arrives at the offices of Runway, where the competition interviews are being held. She studies a group of attractive girls powdering their noses as they wait to be called on the stairs. They stare back at her as she joins them before going in for her interview with three women who sit in front of her looking bored as she sits demurely smiling.
I've been reading Runway magazine since I was in the seventh grade. I taught myself how to make clothes by copying the dresses that the models wear. I know that some people say that fashion magazines are just escapism, but Runway has given me inspiration and self-esteem. It taught me that even in Nutley, New Jersey, a Polish-American girl can look beautiful. And I've always thought that one should live in beauty. Come in.
Mother, this is Martha, the girl I was telling you about. And Dad.
And this is Andy's father, George.
Hi, it's so nice to meet you both.
Pleasure to meet you, my dear.
Well, Mrs. Stewart, I've been studying interior design and art history, but I never realized before that you could turn a house into a work of art.
I've always thought one should live in beauty. Taste can't be bought, but money helps. Martha, tell us about your family.
Well, my background is actually Polish nobility. My father, like all the Kastiras, is very artistic. He's always creating and inventing.
And Mother Kostura? Like mother, like daughter?
Actually, she is the intellectual in our family. She was an educator before she married.
Polish nobility, artists and educators? Who knew New Jersey could be so sophisticated?
Martha smiles triumphantly, and Andy looks at her admiringly. He shows her into his bedroom.
Come on.
He leads her in by the arm, and they stand facing each other and kiss before he puts on a record and they start to dance slowly.
Hold on.
I hope your parents like me.
They loved you.
I have a plan. I'm gonna be famous.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know.
They hold each other and kiss passionately. In a sunlit studio, a group of models in stylish dresses and jewelry move around posing in front of a photographer. Martha has a self-satisfied smile as she vies for position, watched by a female magazine executive. A beautiful young woman enters the studio in an elaborate outfit of hat, dress, and long gloves.
Hi.
is Norma Collier, our number one runway girl from 1957. And since then, Norma's modeling career has taken off like a rocket.
Norma, hi. I'm Martha Castira. I've been following your career since the beginning. It is such an honor to meet you.
Thank you. The year I spent in Paris was the best year of my life. I was living in the most beautiful city in the world and learning a lot about myself. And besides, I made a ton of money.
Martha watches attentively and smiles. It's dark. Andy waits outside for her.
Hi.
Hey.
What are you doing here?
I had to talk to you.
What's going on?
I've been thinking a lot about us and... I want you to marry me.
What?
Marry me.
Andy, I have a chance to go to Paris.
I know.
I've been working for this.
I know.
My whole life. I don't want to go back to New Jersey.
I've been thinking about it, and I'm going to be done with law school in a year, and then we can move to New York. And you can do modeling there, or art history, or anything you want. Whatever you do, you're going to be amazing. Look, what we have doesn't just happen. What if we don't find it again? I don't want to be without you.
I don't want to be without you.
They stand in the darkness at the foot of the steps outside the magazine offices and kiss passionately in a snowstorm. Martha and Andy, surrounded by family and friends throwing confetti, leave the church on their wedding day. They pause for a photo, then kiss tenderly. Then the young couple go flat hunting.
I think you two are really going to love this place. It's perfect for a young couple starting out.
Well, we can't wait to see it.
How long have you been married?
About a year now. We were living up in New Haven.
I just got a job as a lawyer in the city. So.
Yeah, well, you'll love it here. Yeah, it's a bit of a fixer-upper, but it's really charming, isn't it? These light fixtures, original, 1920, I think.
Excuse me, could we just have a minute?
Sure.
Honey, we need to get a new broker.
Why? What are you talking about?
He keeps showing us dumps. We can afford better than this. What?
Actually, we can't.
What are you talking about?
We can't afford better. That's why he keeps showing us these places.
Well, I know we can't right now, but your dad said that he could help us out for a while.
Dad's broke. He just lost all his money in the stocks. Are they gonna move out of their place?
Are you kidding?
No. I wish I was. Look, a lot of people got hit. The market just took the biggest dive since 1929. You know that. We'll make this place work.
Martha looks disgruntled. Clutching her portfolio, Martha attends a modeling audition.
Thanks. Martha Stewart?
She hands the agent her photos. She turns around in front of him with a smug smile.
Thanks, we'll let you know.
Do you think that you'll let me know soon? Because
I'll let you know.
Eileen Rifkin. Hi, Eileen. These are great. Are these new? Wonderful. Good to see you.
Martha leaves the audition looking angry. Wearing a fur coat and a cross expression, she walks home in the snow.
How'd it go?
It was awful.
What happened?
It was humiliating.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Feel any better?
No. I can't keep anything down.
Wearing a dressing gown, Martha emerges from the bathroom and walks over to Andy. She sits next to him on the sofa, and he puts his arm around her comfortingly.
Maybe you're pregnant.
Don't say that.
She gets up quickly and walks away.
Okay. But maybe that'd be nice.
Yes, someday, but not now. I can't take care of a baby now.
I can take care of us. I do have a job. I know it's a small firm, but I am still a lawyer.
You're a lawyer, but you don't make any money. This is not how it was supposed to be.
Look, Martha, you can do anything you want.
I cannot be anything I want if I have a baby. It is hard enough right now. It would be so much harder. It is so much harder than when we were falling in love and you said how easy everything would be. It is not easy, Andy.
So, what are you saying?
I'm saying that I refuse to end up like my mother, living in the suburbs, raising a family.
Martha runs back into the bathroom.
Okay. No baby.
Mom, where's my jacket?
I don't know. Where'd you leave it?
Oh, it's over there.
Come on, Lexi, let's go.
I don't want to go shopping for popcorn.
I know, but it's going to be a lot of fun because I'm the one to make the fudge and everything with marshmallows, the kind you love.
Martha and her daughter are in a shop looking at copper saucepans.
Oh, sorry.
Donna?
Martha!
How are you? It's been ages.
Oh, my God, great. You look terrific.
So do you. Did you want this?
Oh, God, no, it's too expensive. We can get a toboggan for that, can't we?
What have you been up to?
Well, I have a family now, and how about you?
I'm a stockbroker.
Where's that child's mother?
Lexi, get out of here! She's mine.
What about wood?
Norma, I got you a pot, too. Every good cook deserves a copper pot.
Thank you.
How did you get to be a stockbroker?
Isn't that strictly for the guys?
Well, Andy kept encouraging me, telling me I had a head on my shoulders, that I should bust through all the barriers and make a lot of money. I make more money than him now, and he's a lawyer.
Wow. I have some money saved up from my modeling days, and I've been afraid to invest it with someone that I don't know. Is there anything you can suggest?
Actually, there is one company. You heard of Levitt's?
Yeah.
It's gonna go through the roof.
Andy, this rash is killing me.
It's not a rash, that's stress.
It is not stress.
You're still selling Levitt's furniture stock, aren't you?
Levitt's is the biggest seller at the company. I'm expected to sell a stock.
I'm just saying you shouldn't be making any promises you can't keep or get carried away with your sales presentations.
Andy, I'm the girl in the miniskirt. I have to sell twice as much as the boys and I have to bring twice as many new clients.
Barron's just published an article stating that Levitt's may be implicated in market rigging and brokerage kickbacks.
Stick to the law, Andy.
Mom!
Look, I'm just saying the partners in your firm are getting too close to the companies whose shares they are trading. That is a legal entanglement that could blow up in your face.
Mom, come on!
What am I supposed to do? Quit? How can we afford this apartment? And Lexi's school, we can't live on what you make.
Well, look, we can work it out, honey. Look, we'll cut back. Move out of the city. Maybe we'll get a place in the country. I'll commute.
Oh, great. I'll get to be stuck alone in a house all by myself in the country while you're out practicing law. I don't think so.
Mom!
Andy looks exasperated as Martha leaves the room.
In financial news, the SEC has suspended trading in Levitt stock and will be investigating allegations that stock promoters issued bullish reports on Levitt stock in exchange for kickbacks. The tri-state area conglomerate is being investigated for securities fraud after allegations surfaced of kickbacks, market rigging, and insider trading.
Where do you want to live in the country?
Looking grim-faced, Martha, with her husband at the wheel and daughter in the back, is driven away from New York into the countryside. Martha gazes sadly out of the car window, looking at the changing scenery. They pull up outside a beautiful, big, white, weatherboarded house. Martha helps her daughter out of the car. Andy takes her hand, and all three of them walk towards the front door. The front garden is untidy and neglected. The inside of the house is shabby and old-fashioned. Martha looks around thoughtfully, as if working out what could be done to improve the place.
Welcome to Turkey Hill.
Surrounded by packing cases in the new house, Andy and Martha eat a Chinese meal with her father.
Did you know Westport used to be an old seaport, and now it's the new in-place with the celebrities? Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward live right down the road. We know it's a little shabby, but we have big... What?
Nothing.
I was just saying, I know it's a little shabby, but we have big plans of restoring it to its 1805 glory.
Yeah, as we get the money.
Those better be big plans. Those plans better be the size of China, because I have no idea how you're going to make this place livable. Good work, Andy.
We chose to live here, Dad. It's not his fault.
Oh, really? Are all Yale grads living in crap holes like this? Are crap holes in style these days? I didn't realize that.
You know, Eddie, nothing's ever good enough for you, is it? Never has been, never
will be. Dad, after what
you've
taught me, the attention to detail, we can turn this house into a dream home in no time.
Just pass me some vegetables.
It's right there in front of you.
Andy and Martha are in bed. He's asleep. She throws back the covers and walks downstairs in a long nightdress. Slowly and deliberately, she walks into a room. Puts on some protective glasses. Picks up a sledgehammer and starts knocking down a wall. Andy stirs, then rushes downstairs.
Martha, what in the hell are you doing?
Trying to make this place livable!
Look, honey, stop. We can't afford to have this house fixed up now.
Andy, does it look like I'm asking someone else to fix it? I'm gonna do it myself. I'm not going to sit around on my ass waiting for you to get a promotion. I'm starting with this wall, and I'm turning this place into a palace!
All right, just wait. You need some help?
Here, you can do this for a while. Go, baby, go! Woo-hoo! Go, Andy! Look at that, we can see through!
The dining room!
See if we can do it.
Martha sets about renovating the house. She cleans the windows, she removes wallpaper. She paints a mural. She scrapes paint off French windows. Wearing an apron, she's in the kitchen with her husband and daughter.
This is delicious. You can't buy a pie like this.
No, you can't buy a pie like that. How much would you pay for that?
Oh, what, are you going to start charging me now for my dessert?
No, I'm serious. How much would you pay for this?
I don't know. $3?
$3?
Okay, $5.
$5?
Yeah.
Martha is in a busy mall, selling pies from a table. Her chin resting on her hands, she sits looking disappointed as the shoppers walk past. A sign over the pies says $3.
Thank you so much.
She stands up to serve a customer, then grabs the sign, crosses out $3 and writes 10.
Pecan walnut pie. Thank you very much. There you go. Thank you so much. It's $10. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
$20 for a pie.
Wow. Norma.
Yeah. Wow.
How are you?
You mean since you lost all my money and left town without calling me?
Everyone got burned on Levitt's.
Norma.
Yes? I'm sorry.
Why didn't you tell me?
I didn't know. If I had known, would I be here selling pies? And then she said to me, are you a stay-at-home mommy too?
Like, that's the greatest thing in the world.
Made me want to puke.
I know.
I've got to do something in Westport. I just hadn't figured out what it is yet.
You know what I see in Westport? Most women are lawyers and executives working on their careers, which is great. But they're still expected to be wife and mommy and elegant hostess.
Exactly. And throw intimate dinner parties for 8 and cocktail parties for 30 every weekend.
Yeah, and throw their kids' birthday parties. And
it's impossible.
They can't do it. They don't have the time.
I could do it for them.
So could I.
You want to entertain, but you just don't have the time.
You wish you could have it catered, but that seems
so impersonal. This is what we do. We come to your house, we take your pots and pans and your favorite serving dishes. Then we create a gourmet menu just for you and cook it to perfection.
We take our entrees and we put them in your serving dishes.
And return them to your home.
Then no one, not even the servers, will have any idea
that you didn't cook the entire meal yourself. Which is why we call it the uncatered affair.
Norma and Martha sit in a car drinking from beer bottles outside the large house where the party they catered for is taking place. The guests toast the hostess.
Plum tomatoes, English cucumbers, and chickpeas in a salad with raspberry vinaigrette. Loin of pork stuffed with walnuts and dried cherries, ending with a double chocolate Diablo cake. And everyone in there is dying over every bite.
And no one knows we did it.
That's the problem. We could hire a publicist and publish our own recipes. That's what the high-profile caterers do. Oh, and we could open an office downtown and subcontract the lower-profile parties.
What? It's a lot. I think we're doing fine as we are.
Well, we are doing fine, but since when is fine good enough? We could be running this town.
So what can I eat here, huh?
Nothing. Stop it. That's for the clients.
So what are Alexi and I supposed to eat?
Maybe you could order pizza.
Pizza.
Martha, I can't do the Katz's next month.
What are you talking about? We have to do the Katz's. Erica Jong's going to be there.
Yes, I know that, but I have a family reunion.
So don't go.
I can't just not go. It's my family.
All right, fine. I'll do it myself.
You can't do it yourself.
Why not?
Because this is our business, and we came up with the idea together, and you can't just start doing things on your own.
I'm not blowing this opportunity.
Martha, I've been working very hard. All right, and I think that I deserve a weekend off.
Yeah, I'd like to order a pizza.
Okay.
Yes, fine.
Martha shrugs and turns away. Norma looks defiant.
I thought you told Norma you weren't going to do this.
I told her she could have the weekend off.
Lexi, will you get that? Well, that's not how I understood it.
I'm not giving up this opportunity because she doesn't have her priorities straight.
So much for 50-50. Did you really think you could keep this a secret? Westport is a small town, Martha.
Norma, what'd you expect? You're just a housewife with a hobby. You don't have what it takes.
If having what it takes means being like you, then no thank you. I don't want it. You screwed me once, and this is the last time.
Norma strides out of the kitchen. Martha watches, furious. She grabs a copper pot and runs after her, followed by Andy.
Oh, Norma! Every good cook deserves a copper pot!
Andy stands on the porch, watching with horror as Martha throws the saucepan at Norma, missing and hitting a car. Norma drives off, and Martha and Andy go back indoors. smartly dressed, Martha strides through her house.
Okay, everybody, let's go! Lexi, forget the lamp. Go to the kitchen. There's tons to do. Pull those books straight. Get it straight. Laura, can you please go help Mom in the kitchen like I asked you to? Stop it, Andy. I told you to do the drapes yesterday. It's too late now. Where's my father?
I don't know.
I can't believe this. He's going to miss everything. This house is going to be filled with people in 10 minutes. George, take it back to the kitchen and put it on two smaller trays. Mom! Mom, where is Dad?
I think he's gone to the greenhouse.
Stop with the tomatoes, Dad. Everyone's almost here.
I'm almost finished.
Don't use the transplant fertilizer at this point.
I know what I'm doing.
Dad, if you're gonna do it right.
All right, you do it. You're the expert.
Is it okay if we worry about this another time? Because it's really important that the whole family be outside when the guests arrive. It looks better.
Why do you care what they think?
Never mind.
All right, I'm coming. In a minute.
Welcome to a tour of my home. I am so excited. I'm thrilled to show it to you. But first, will you please remove your shoes? Let's start with the library.
A group of women admires the mural, then starts eating the buffet while Martha's mother supervises in the kitchen.
Great, I need more of those sandwiches, please. Laura, a little faster with the crudité. Young man, I need those peppers right here in the bowl. Right in that bowl.
Martha's daughter, bored, arms folded, stands awkwardly in a corner, and Martha's father looks uncomfortable as he walks past the strangers in the house who ignore him. He sees Martha giving a talk to a small group and watches her admiringly from the doorway. Andy joins him.
I was inspired by the primitive landscape paintings of 19th century muralist Rufus Porter. It looks complex, but the technique is actually easy to master. There are definitive methods to pulling this off, such as sponging, graining, stenciling.
How are you doing, Ed? How are you feeling?
The most important thing is to use
paints
made from natural ingredients.
Martha said you weren't feeling
it. This allows for very organic.
That's a load of crap.
A mural can be a surprisingly easy way to personalize.
Oh, didn't Martha tell you I'm the new CEO at the Abrams publishing line at Times Mirror?
A mural will liven up your home.
I get to make decisions about which books we publish. It's a very exciting change.
All you need is a little inspiration, a few easy-to-find materials, and a little courage.
Martha's father ignores Andy. Martha looks over and smiles at them. She's cleaning up in the kitchen.
Good work today, kid. This is the beginning of something big.
In Westport.
I won't overlook this, Martha. This isn't just about Westport. You're on your way.
Martha hugs her father, tentatively at first, then relaxes and smiles. Martha takes off her pearls in front of the bedroom mirror.
Well, you knocked them dead tonight.
Yeah, I'd call it a success. I think a few of them went home with a little more awareness of the historical significance of their homes.
Yeah. All right, now I want to talk to you about something, but you gotta promise me something first. You gotta promise me you're not gonna laugh.
Okay, Andy.
No, you gotta promise me.
All right, I promise.
Good. Okay, now, I'm thinking about publishing this book. And it's a very intriguing book. It's about gnomes. Gnomes, you know, the magical little people. Yeah, and it's called The Secret Life of Gnomes, right?
Sorry.
Come on, now wait. You said you weren't gonna laugh. Come on.
That's Andy, you can't make me promise not to laugh and then pitch me a book about magic life of secret little gnomes.
Oh, never mind. All right, so you hate the idea. All right.
Forget it.
It's called The Secret Life of Gnomes, and it is the publishing hit of the year. Let's have a big round of applause for the genius behind it all. To gnome is to love him. Andy Stewart.
Back at the house, after the launch, Andy is looking in the fridge. Martha creeps into the kitchen with a pointed gnome's hat.
In the mood for a little magic?
I'm a magical little person.
You were fantastic tonight. I was so proud of you.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, the way you handled yourself, you were very sexy. I have an idea.
Yeah? What do you got in mind?
It's about a book.
You want to talk about a book?
Come
now?
On. It's by someone you love very much, who happens to be Westport's...
What?
Best caterer.
I don't know. There's a lot of cookbooks out there.
I know. That's a problem. They're about cooking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what do you want me to do?
Publish it.
Martha is typing at her desk.
Napkins. Try not to be contrived, but for a special occasion, a napkin folded into a fan shape provides an elegant frill. Ow!
For a special occasion, try a napkin folded into a fan?
Do you know how many people are intimidated by folding napkins?
Oh, hi. We can discuss this later.
I have no secrets from my new assistant. You do want the job, don't you? So what's the problem?
Well, it's not the folding napkins. It's the writing. It just feels forced.
How else am I supposed to describe folding napkins?
I don't know, but there is a way. We just have to find your voice.
People want more than recipes. They want to learn how to entertain. A Cajun feast for 20. Napkins. When it comes to folding napkins, I prefer the fan or a loose knot to the trickier napkin maneuvers, which I always leave to Chinese restaurants. Linzer tort, vanilla tuil, baklava, rum balls, and a white chocolate mousse cake. Dessert for 30. I grew up in a large family that always had guests. Quantity was the rule. When my father took a skiff out into Barnegat Bay, he returned with not one but 80 fish. Not 2 dozen, but 12 dozen hard-shell crabs. I've never been afraid of quantity. My first catered party was a breakfast of heroic proportions for the Nutley High School football team.
Martha carries in the turkey for a Christmas dinner being filmed at her house.
Isn't it great that it snowed this morning? I just think they're so fabulous. Oh, goodness. Everyone raise your glasses.
Cut. He's blocking me. Nobody touch the food. We're going to do it again. Ray.
Okay, let's reset everyone. Let's do it like Martha asked. Don't touch the food. Make sure your napkins are placed right. And camera back to one on the dolly. What we'll do is when we come around to Andy, we'll just leave him a little bit of room over here. Okay, remember, this is a TV special, so smiles all around.
Come on, everybody. Loosen up, Mom. Lexi, look like you're having fun. It's Christmas, for God's sake.
You heard her. Kitchen staff, let's reset the food. Let's do it again.
Come on, let's go. Give me the turkey.
And take 17 and action.
Hey. Oh. Everyone raise your glasses.
Cut. Andy, why can't you get the damn blocking?
Martha scowls. The family looks concerned. Andy throws down his napkin, puts down his glass, and leaves the room. Martha follows.
What are you doing? We're already into overtime.
Are you coming away with me at Christmas?
What are you talking about?
Talking about our life together.
Andy, can you save the sentimental crap for later? Because in case you haven't noticed, we're shooting a television show in there. My first PBS special. I don't have time for this.
You never have time for this. You never have time for your family.
Do we have to talk about this right now?
Yes, we do. Now, I am making plans for us to go away over Christmas. Are you coming?
I told you before I can't. I have book signings and catering commitments.
Look, I've got weeks worth of stuff piled up too, but I promise you this, we go away for a week. All of that stuff will be here when we get back.
We can go another time.
You've been saying that for the last year. And it's not just gonna spontaneously happen.
I'm not going.
You know, Martha, I thought maybe with the success of entertaining, maybe this obsession you have with pushing yourself would lessen just a little bit.
Obsession? Wanting to be successful is suddenly a bad thing.
Martha, if you don't go away with me and Lexi for Christmas, I don't know what's gonna happen to us.
Is that a threat? We'll shoot around you.
Andy stands alone looking sad as Martha leaves the room. Martha is at a book signing.
I remember family Christmases where we'd all run to the backyard and gather acorns to make our ornaments because we didn't have any money, but we did have a house full of love. That's really what matters.
It's dark. Martha's house has Christmas lights over the front door. She pulls into the drive in her Jag. She parks and gets out and walks towards the front door, which has a wreath on it. She lets herself into the darkened hallway, smiling.
Hey everybody, I'm home. Merry Christmas, where are you? Where'd you guys go? Andy? Lexi?
Martha walks into the dimly lit kitchen and turns around looking worried.
Andy?
Still wearing her coat, she walks into the living room where the Christmas tree is lit. She walks slowly back into the gloomy hallway and looks for her husband in another room. She comes out again and cuts a lonely figure, standing, arms at her side, near the front door.
The thing is, our kitchen corner is stuck in the 50s. We need someone who can make our housewares division exciting. We need a new spokesperson, and I have found the perfect person who can do that for us. Martha Stewart.
Who the hell is that?
Well, she's a hugely successful Westport, Connecticut caterer who is also a homemaker, devoted to her husband and daughter. She lives the life she portrays. Her new book is a number one bestseller.
Oh, roast suckling pig. Sounds good, doesn't it?
She embodies the ideals of the American family, hearth and home.
Grim-faced, Martha stares out of an upstairs window as Andy pulls into the driveway in a Mercedes sports car. He and his daughter get out, take their bags from the boot, and go into the house. Martha pulls away from the window. Andy and his daughter put their bags down in the hallway, take off their coats and join Martha, who's now in the kitchen. Her mother and a friend are seated at the table as she dishes up.
Andy, tell us all about your vacation.
It was very nice.
Very nice, Mother. Did you hear that very nice that he abandoned his wife at Christmas?
I asked you to come.
You jerk. You knew I couldn't, and then you snuck out when I wasn't here.
Andy and Martha stare at each other. Her mother looks embarrassed.
That's not who you should be apologizing to. What?
Martha Stewart.
Hold on. You should be apologizing to me. What?
You don't know me, but I can make you a multimillionaire and a star, and it won't cost you anything.
You just listen to me. Let me do the talking. That's why I'm here to
Andy,
protect you.
Wedding layouts.
4 o'clock, my office. whatever you do, don't talk about money.
Sign on as our spokesperson, and our chain will create a national advertising campaign that'll make you one of the best-known personalities in America. Now, we recognize that Martha is more than a visionary when it comes to cooking and decorating. She's also a loving mother and wife. That is crucial to our customers.
What chain are we talking about?
The great nationwide chain of Kmart stores.
Well, I'm not sure Martha's...
How much money do I get?
$200,000. Did it occur to you she was prepared to offer you more?
It's a great opportunity.
I can't believe you want to do this.
It's a great opportunity for me.
For you, yeah. What are you going to do when they find out we're not the perfect family they think we are?
Martha goes into a lift alone, scowling at Andy.
This is terrific. This is exactly what our clients want. A happy homemaker.
I just hope she's like Jacqueline Smith.
Oh, lovely girl. Never causes any trouble. Martha!
Hello, everyone. I'm so looking forward to working with you all.
Well, so are we.
What's all this crap?
Oh, these are some of the products we'll be introducing under the Martha Stewart name.
I don't think so. My name cannot be used without my approval, and to put it kindly, this is horrendous. The colors are garish. There's no philosophy to the design. Sheets? Made of what? What's the thread count? I hate touching this, much less lying on it. I want cotton. I want 300 thread count minimum, or this face doesn't sell these sheets. Just because Kmart sells inexpensive products doesn't mean they can't be beautiful. That's why I'm here. Not to sink to your level, but to raise you to mine. It's not what I can do for Kmart, it's what Kmart can do for me. They sell my books, I get a piece of the sales. They don't get a penny of my royalties. And I want to restore another old house like Turkey Hill. Only Kmart's going to pay for the whole thing. The house, the renovation, and all the filming costs.
And you take the entire process.
Exactly, and sell the tapes in all their stores.
Oh, you are really inspiring, Martha.
Thanks.
You and Andy are an amazing team. You have these brilliant ideas, and he helps make them happen.
Yes, it's nice to have him helping me.
You're really lucky.
I know. I mean, sometimes I forget, but most of the time I know.
Martha stares at her assistant, then looks down uncomfortably.
Hey, Melissa, one more. Can you get it? Did you get it? Did you get it?
Got it.
Okay,
got
let's go. For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow.
Lexi, are you here?
Jolly good fellow, which nobody can deny, which nobody can deny, which nobody can deny. For he's a jolly good fellow, which nobody can deny.
Martha presents a birthday cake to Andy at a party in their home, then flings her arms around his neck and kisses him extravagantly. He looks surprised and awkward.
Aren't you going to introduce me?
Mom, this is my boyfriend, Sam.
Hi, Sam Waxel. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Sam.
You throw a nice party.
Well, thank you.
This is nothing for her.
Excuse me, Mom.
Hey, Hi, Bob. Andy. Hey. Excellent party. Thanks. Happy Thanks birthday, man. This is great.
How is that apartment hunt going?
What apartment?
Yeah, what apartment?
Well, the apartment in Manhattan.
You're getting an apartment for us?
Excuse me. I'm sorry you heard that. I wanted to tell you myself.
What are you talking about?
The apartment is not for us. It's for me.
Martha's assistant listens intently.
You're leaving me? You're leaving me? Why would you do this when you know that my value to Kmart has everything to do with my reputation as a homemaker?
That's what you're worried about. Maybe that's why I'm leaving.
Not leaving me.
Do not make a scene.
You're not leaving me.
The guests stare. Martha's assistant quickly looks away. Martha glowers at her. Andy is at his desk, composing a leaving note to Martha while she's at a Kmart launch party.
Martha Stewart has millions of fans, and you are all proof of it.
Just last year alone, Martha had 45,762 people to dinner. Her books, her recipes, her fabulous taste have made her beloved of millions. And now you can buy Martha Stewart at Kmart. A successful businesswoman who balances work and family, a devoted wife and mother. Let's welcome her as she introduces her new book, Weddings. And here she is, Martha Stewart.
Thank you all so much for coming. The success of this book means a lot to me because it is very close to my heart. I could never have made this book happen if it weren't for my wonderful husband, Andy, who has taught me how to love. I wrote Weddings for him. He is the love of my life.
Andy stands in the hallway of the house looking around sadly. He picks up his bag and leaves by the front door. Martha is sitting in a chair pitching to two magazine executives with a basket containing two jars of honey on her lap.
I'm here to talk to you about an idea for a new magazine. It will be named after me, and I will be featured on the cover of every issue. This will give the magazine a free ride on my brand identification.
And what's this going to be called? Martha Stewart Magazine?
Martha Stewart Living Magazine. It's a natural for Time Warner.
Why?
Who I am, what I eat, my favorite plants, that's what sells. The millions of people who buy my books buy my products at Kmart, and they're going to buy my magazine. It's a perfect example of synergy.
Synergy?
Kmart has spent millions making me a household name. I'll use that name to promote my magazine. My magazine will promote my Kmart products. Martha Stewart will cross-promote Martha Stewart products, books, and Martha Stewart Living Magazine. That's synergy.
The executives look at each other.
From my very own bees who feed on my very own flowers, honey, from my table to yours.
Martha and Andy are in the divorce courts.
On March 16, 1988, the defendant came to the plaintiff's place of business and created a scene.
I sold Time Warner on the idea for the Martha Stewart magazine. What do you think?
Why are you doing this, Martha? Why are you even here?
Because it's ridiculous. We can make this work, Andy, if we want to. We can go away just as soon as my magazine's in place.
And when will that be? Next year? Look, it doesn't matter anyway. It's too late.
Andy, we've been married almost 30 years. You can't just throw it away.
I'm not the one who did.
You're having an affair.
Defendant states that the plaintiff has on repeated occasions and continues to commit adultery.
Who is she?
I am not having an affair.
Who is she? I can't believe you would do this to me!
Martha is driving and pulls up alongside her assistant, who's jogging.
Slut! I'm sending your parents a letter. Tell them you're a whore.
Don't give me that innocent look after all I've done for you. Well, if you think you're getting him, you are very much mistaken!
The plaintiff requests dissolution of the marriage and equitable distribution of property.
Martha looks furiously across the courtroom at Andy. She follows him down the street.
So that's what this is all about. Money. My money.
Martha, I only want what's mine.
You don't get it, do you? It's all my money. That's perfect. Just leave. You're always leaving. You're too afraid to face the truth.
The truth? You want the truth, Martha? The truth is, you will never be happy. Because no one and nothing will ever be good enough for you. The more you have, the more you need. You don't even notice what you have around you because you are so obsessed with getting the next thing.
I loved you, Martha. I really did. All I am to you now is a perfect husband so you can show your perfect life to the world. And the truth is, our marriage was never perfect. Sometimes it was messy, sometimes it was great, sometimes it was two people just trying to share their lives together. It was never good enough for you. But then I guess the truth is never good enough. Not for Martha Stewart.
Martha, a lonely figure, stands still watching him. Observed by Kmart executives, Martha gives an in-store demonstration.
My lemon curd tartlet is totally delicious and very pretty with a dollop of whipped cream and candied violets.
Martha, I tried making the lemon tartlets and they don't turn out right.
You have to follow the recipe.
Oh, I tried the recipe twice, exactly the way
there
you said.
There is nothing wrong with my recipe. Obviously, you can't cook.
Martha, excuse us, please. Martha, you can't just tell our shoppers that they can't cook. What if there is something wrong with your tartlets?
Mr. Wielding, since I've been spokesperson for Kmart, things have gone very well for you.
I can talk to the customers any way I please, and there's nothing wrong with my tartlets. Oh, I have a meeting. My magazine is a huge success. It makes sense that I have my own TV show. I could offer the viewers inspiration and how-to information on entertaining, cooking, gardening, painting,
storing. You can't just produce a television show just like that.
Of course you can. You're Time Warner.
Martha, just because you have an idea for a show...
I don't just have an idea. I have the complete concept already laid out in my magazine. All we have to do is bring it to life.
All we have to do? That's a huge undertaking.
And?
Look, just because something works in your magazine or in a book, it doesn't mean it's necessarily going to translate to television. It's a whole different medium. You're not going to get your own TV show.
Martha looks determined, then walks into a TV boss's office carrying a basket of cakes.
Hello, I'm Martha Stewart.
Well, hello.
Sorry to sneak up on you like that.
Not at all. It's my pleasure.
I brought you my famous cranberry ginger muffins.
I hate muffins.
Okay.
Why is Martha Stewart living?
Because people can't get enough of her. I've helped to show women that there's an art to raising their families, and millions of them buy my products to find out how to do it. Now, I want my own television series. And since you're a well-known and very respected TV distributor, I've come to you.
Your magazine's with Time Warner. Why don't you go to them?
They don't see the potential.
Well, neither do I. There's no way this can make money.
I don't care if it makes money. The series is meant to prop up my brand.
Let me clue you in on something here, Martha. TV shows are supposed to make money. Otherwise, there's no point putting them on the air.
I'll sell my own ads. The show will promote Martha Stewart, who will be cross-promoting the magazine, which carries the ads of the businesses that will advertise on my show.
Your show isn't a show. It's a commercial disguised as a program. It's a commercial inside an infomercial. Oh, wait, this is even better. It's a commercial inside an infomercial that cross-promotes the magazine.
That carries the ads of the companies.
That advertise on your show. That is brilliant.
Hi, I'm Martha Stewart. And today on our first show, we'll learn how to make a beautiful flower arrangement for any summer affair, which is really lovely. We'll learn to pick a mango, and I'll give you tips on how to make the perfect picnic for that special someone.
Martha is walking in the snowy countryside with a group of businesswomen.
Hey, Martha. I made your Hawaiian luau dinner for 20.
How was it?
Fattening and delicious.
You're Carolyn Cass. I hear you're a partner with Galbraith Mead and Company.
Yeah, I was. I'm an MBA. I have my own consulting firm now. I understand you're seeing Sam Waxel.
Oh, my daughter introduced me to him, but it's nothing. It's just good to be out there, you know.
You know the rules. No men and no business.
We're just bonding.
Yeah, right.
Keep it going.
How's your relationship with Time Warner?
Oh, every sentence out of their mouth is, Martha doesn't understand, Martha doesn't realize, Martha doesn't know. And then they go, hold on, how did she just make us millions of dollars?
I don't understand how they don't get you.
I'm sick of dragging them behind me.
Or some get rid of them.
Oh, yeah?
Martha, look, you're an icon. You've created this incredible empire. And trust me, it's only the beginning.
Hey, Caroline, you ever been to Westport?
Martha, I've concluded after looking over these contracts with Time that you're being exploited.
They're really taking a lot of her profits.
Should I put these cookies here?
Yeah, that'll be fine.
You gotta ask yourself, Martha, what do you want?
Control. Here, put another cup of that in there.
Okay. Well, that's right. Without control, you have no power.
So what are these guys like that you're dealing with at the time? Are they as tough as I heard?
Yeah. Bunch of jerks. The potential they see when a smart, sexy woman walks in the room has very little to do with business.
And by the time we're through with them, you will have severed your relationship with time. You're going to own your own businesses, and you will be rich.
The two women smile at each other, and Martha touches Caroline's long, dark hair.
You see, what Martha doesn't understand is that...
What Martha understands is this. I don't need you. You slow me down. You get in my way. I'm through being nice. Now, I want 40% equity or I'm gone.
You never really wanted Martha Stewart.
That's right. Let's see what you can do with Martha Stewart living without Martha Stewart to kick her around. By the way, I've re-signed with Richard Sheingold. 5 shows a week, and I own them.
Martha and Caroline, who now has a blonde bob, walk out of Time Warner's offices.
Well, Time's willing to let you buy your way out of your contract.
I knew it.
For $85
million. $85 million? I don't have $85 million.
No, you have $2
million. What the hell are you trying to do to me? Now I have to go back to Time and humiliate myself? This is your idea of business genius?
Well, what do you think they were gonna do? Just lay down and let you take control? You wanna play with the boys, you gotta have balls.
Balls? I've got balls, Caroline. I just don't have $85 million.
Then you're gonna have to start using your resources.
Like what?
Isn't it time for you to re-up your contract with Kmart and think about going public?
You know, you are a genius. Parmesan risotto, grilled herbed striped bass, cherry tomato chutney and lemon confit. Bon appetit.
Now you know, Mr. Wielding, that you have $1 billion worth of Martha Stewart branded goods moving through Kmart's checkout aisles, and I'm sure that you're going to keep that in mind as you consider renegotiating the contract for Martha.
Let's face it, this isn't about a contract. This is about a relationship, one that's been dysfunctional. Mr. Wielding, I want to be more of a team player. I want to be a loyal member of the Kmart family, just like Jacqueline Smith.
But that's what we always hoped for.
This is cause for celebration, and just a small advance in my new contract.
Going public is the right move for Martha Stewart. The market's hot. Certainly it is for every dot-com company right now, but as we know, almost none of those companies has produced any profit. Now, against this kind of competition, Martha Stewart living on the media looks like an investment in Fort Knox. With Morgan Stanley, the most prestigious investment firm on Wall Street, underwriting Martha Stewart living on the media, we know we can't fail.
We have concerns, Martha. Your continued success and the value of your company depends to a large degree on the reputation of Martha Stewart. Your business would admittedly be adversely affected if your image or reputation were to be tarnished.
Yes, but the brand is spread over such a large area that our information can be trusted. My magazine has 17 million readers. My 27 books have sold over 8.5 million copies. My weekday radio show is carried by 270 stations. I'm on TV 6 days a week on CBS. The website has 1 million registered users and a catalog operation that sells to over 3 million people a month. What could possibly happen?
Martha and Caroline march back into Time Warner's offices.
I don't have the 85 million in cash. Will you take a check?
The executives look dumbfounded.
You know, nutcracking is not as difficult as it seems. Most people just don't know how to use a nutcracker. All you do is put it in, squeeze down, and crack. It's actually very simple.
Unbelievable. Martha Stewart has bought her way out of her Time contract for $85 million. How did she do it?
Take a $30 million loan from Morgan Stanley and a $16 million advance on my Kmart contract.
had 6.3% of unregistered shares from her future company's stock, and what do you get? You get to buy your way out of time.
$2 million cash.
When the dust settles on Wall Street, this will become known as the biggest financial coup in recent history. And it was all cooked up by two women in a Connecticut kitchen.
Martha and Caroline watch TV and toast each other. Martha is opening the New York Stock Exchange. Martha and Caroline walk down a New York street, arm in arm, looking up at the share prices scrolling past on the side of a building.
Oh my God, I thought for sure we were going to start at $18 a share, and with you owning 70.4% of the stock.
I'm worth $614 million and change.
I would say that's right. Instead of $18, we're at $37.25 a share, which means
I am worth $1 billion.
How does that make you feel?
Rich?
The two women look at each other smiling. Martha drives up to the front of her TV studios.
All right, she's here.
No, no, no. She said she had a standing order with the broker to sell if the shares went below 60 bucks.
Look, she sold the shares the day before they tanked.
Yeah, she's gonna risk her entire empire for 200,000 bucks.
The TV crew freezes as Martha walks in stern-faced.
10 seconds!
Martha stands in the studio kitchen, being groomed and made up.
Final touches in 5, 4, 3.
Hi, I'm Martha Stewart. Sometimes we learn something new about orchids, but today we're going to learn an entirely new recipe with lima beans. Are you kidding me? Where are the lima beans? I'm sitting here talking about lima beans and there aren't any. Someone in my staff forgot to put out the lima beans. Excuse me? Why is everyone here so stupid?
Martha is driving out of New York.
And the news just keeps getting worse for embattled lifestyle guru Martha Stewart.
It's a stunning fall from grace. The market that gave Martha Stewart Living Omnimedia $1 billion has taken most of it back. Now she claims as a result of this crisis, she's lost over $400 million.
And how did the Domestic Doyen's fans feel about her now?
Now, asked about recent allegations of insider trading, Martha Stewart had no comment other than a subpoena should be served with a white wine. And NBC is going to make a movie about Martha Stewart. They're calling it American Psycho.
As I get older and become more educated, I find I'm less interested in things and schemes and acquisitions. I now know deeply that nature and people and light and peacefulness and pets and fresh air and good communication and finding love are more important than mansions and empires.
Shut up, bitch.
Martha is in bed alone, having a nightmare about being in prison. She jumps out of the bed and goes downstairs to the dimly lit kitchen. She opens the large fridge and grabs an armful of vegetables. Looking distraught, she then takes pots and pans down from racks and cupboards. She stands still, hands on the table, and starts to sob, bowing her head. Then she straightens up, composes herself, and grabs the phone.
Wake everyone up and get them to my office now.
Martha looks determined and puts the phone down. She's in her office with her staff.
Come on, I need ideas. Forward thinking that radically reconceived my show. We need to find a new audience and we need to revitalize the old.
There's some natives in Nova Scotia. You could fish with them and learn how to plank salmon.
We could go to Mount Vernon. We could tour the kitchen garden and then cook an elegant Martha Washington dinner.
I like chocolate. Can you do something with that?
You could hunt for truffles and
we could go to New Mexico. Find your spirit animal, cook the animal, and then we'll air it all on TV.
Where are you going?
Staring at her staff, frowning and tight-lipped, Martha turns on her heel and walks out of the office. Wearing a sheepskin jacket, she leaves the building and gets into her car parked outside the front door. She switches on the radio as she drives out of the city.
Going for practically nothing, with no payments for 12...
And we're back. Our topic today, Martha Stewart and her recent stock crisis. Are we the people indicting her without a trial? How do you feel? Let's roll the calls. Scarsdale. You're on the air.
Whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty? It's our system of justice that's corrupt, not Martha Stewart.
Thank you, Riverside.
She's greedy, manipulative, and she deserves what she gets.
Thank you, New York, you're on the air.
She's made such a difference in so many people's lives. She's empowered so many women. And if she weren't a woman herself, no one would care whether she was guilty or not.
Thank you, Syosset, go ahead.
I love her, I just hope she'll survive the damage done to her reputation.
Good point, Syosset. Does she still have her fan base, or is the damage too great to repair? Astoria.
Hi, even if she's guilty, I'm still gonna buy her sheets.
Well, it might well be shown that the only thing Martha Stewart is guilty of is being Martha Stewart.
In Rye today, we have a high of 48 and a low of 41. Showers expected into the early evening. Traffic's coming up next.
As she listens to her car radio, tears roll down Martha's cheeks. Out of the city, she drives past a sign which says Agricultural Fair 10 miles. Arriving at the fair, hands in the pockets of her jacket, Martha walks past the crowds as they look on in amazement at their famous visitor.
Contest, and we'd love it if you'd come and judge it.
I've got organic heirloom squash right over here.
Oh, how wonderful.
Martha, we'd love it if you'd come by to see our quilts.
I got a formula for tomatoes. It's going to make the fresh biggest thing.
Suddenly, the crowd builds up and jostles around Martha, trying to get close to her. She is smiling, enjoying the adulation, talking to everyone as excitement mounts. People stretch out their arms, waving and trying to attract her attention and touch her. They call out her name. She's in the middle of the throng, looking radiant as the crowd swells. The end.